tuned into this episode of Pacey Performance Bite Size. So this clip comes from Eamon Flanagan in episode number 484, and we have a little chat around foot placement. Should I be teaching people and coaching athletes to jump off the ball of their foot, or should it be a flat foot? So a really interesting episode that is about a much talked about topic. Just before we do dive into this episode, I want to say a big thanks to Rock Daisy for sponsoring this episode today. Rock Daisy's best-in-class athlete management system enables strength coaches, sports scientists, and front office personnel to easily centralize, access, track, and analyze all of your athlete's performance data. No more endless spreadsheets and logging into multiple systems. Check out rockdaisy.com for a free trial. How does foot placement, and I suppose the cueing from the coach of foot placement, how does that affect intensity? How does that affect focus when it comes to these training plyometrics?
I think as a starting point, I'd say that's probably an area I don't have a high degree of certainty about. And I'm willing to, it's probably something I'm reflecting on, and probably we did address in the course, but I'd probably continue to reflect on. If you look at some of the research, there's maybe, from what I can see, three or four half-decent studies out there, and they look at things like forefoot placement versus flat foot placement, or the athlete's preferred foot placement in plyometric activities like drop jumps or hurdle jumps. So again, usually what these types of studies do is they set up a jumping activity, they measure, you know, joint reaction forces or ground reaction forces, and they cue the athlete to perform them as you please, preferred. They cue the athlete to perform them on with a forefoot landing, or they cue the athlete to perform with more of a leading with the heel or a flat foot landing. If you look again, maybe through like a simplistic SNC coach lens, if you look at a lot of those studies, a lot of them will show that the forefoot landing, so that's kind of landing on the ball of the foot with the heel probably elevated and off the ground, that tends to have shorter contact times, higher rates of force development, might be a little bit more appropriate for, you know, your fast force application. So straight away as an SNC coach, that can be really attractive. That can be like, oh, that's what I want to do. I like RFD. I like short contact times. This sounds good to me. I'll go in that direction. Couple of problems with these studies. First of all, they tend to be cross-sectional studies. So again, you're cueing an athlete in a particular way, and you're observing the immediate outcome from that, as opposed to coaching an athlete a particular way for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, and observing what the outcome of that is. A lot of these studies as well, again, they look at those kind of ground reaction forces, contact times, the stuff that's probably instantly easy, relatively easy to measure. They may not look at what the shin is doing during that short contact time. They may not look at like the relative distribution of force through the foot. And so I think while that approach is, let's say, attractive at a basic level, ultimately with plyometrics, I probably still consider plyometrics as strength training. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we're training, you know, your fast twitch fibers, and we're training your strength in very, very short time periods. But I still consider it as relatively non-specific, you know, strength training compared to whatever the action of the sport is. So again, when we go to a little bit more of a flatter foot landing, or where we're leading with the heel a little bit more, I think you tend to get less translation of the shin over the foot, which probably unloads like the Achilles tendon a little bit. You get more, I would say, you know, you're distributing the same level of force or similar levels of force across the whole foot rather than all of it on the forefoot. And you may end up with slightly longer contact times. But I mean, I'm looking at some numbers here. We're probably talking about the difference between like 180 milliseconds and 200 milliseconds. Either way, it's still way faster than anything you do in the gym. And either way, it's still slower than what you do when you're sprinting. Do you know what I mean? So like, to me, it's a special strength exercise. So it's still in that category. And I think the value you're getting there is you're not getting that what can be sometimes quite extreme translation of the shin over the foot. You're getting that little bit more of an even force distribution across the foot. And it probably also allows athletes to remain in slightly more kind of stable, strong, kind of stacked postures and positions when they are doing things like bounding or repeat hurdle jumps, for example. What I would say is my gut feeling in terms of experience is that, again, with the exception of maybe athletes who have that extensive experience in athletics, you know, and they've had a very kind of long-term exposure to jumps and bounds and hopping and bounding. And other athletes, I think, tend to default when you ask them to get off the ground quickly, you ask them to like bounce, you ask them to get hit, do a test and hit good RSI scores. I think a lot of them do default to that very kind of 4 foot landing. And again, a bit like those research studies, if you cue them flat, it doesn't feel that good to begin with. Their scores get worse, their contact times get a little bit longer, it feels a bit heavy, it feels a little bit high impact. But I think if you coach through that and coach out the other side of that, you end up with, I would say like movement competency that's more robust, that's more adaptable, and it's probably more sustainable long term.
So would you go there if you were starting with an athlete tomorrow? Would you go there straight away in terms of the flat heel, leading with the heel?
Yeah, I think one of the first things I do is I'd almost always start with that more, because again, we might talk a little bit about training progressions. So without getting into that right away, generally we'd probably start with more, you might call it extensive or preparatory, you know, sub-maximal plyometric work anyway. I think that's your opportunity to see what their default movement patterns are, what, you know, yeah, how do they execute the task you've given them within the constraints that you've given them. And I think sometimes there you'll see people who, you know, probably actually can't stop their heel hitting the ground, aren't in control of that. You'll see people who want to stay on the forefoot excessively. And I think in those kind of lower level, lower intensity, extensive plyometrics, that's where it's much easier to coach that. You know, this is the type of thing that's been popularized by Altus, you know, the rudiment series type approach. It's, you know, the kind of jumps in place circuits that, you know, Boo Schexnader that you've had on the podcast a couple of times would preach about the importance of. And they're really, really good coaching opportunities because it's not maximal intensity. You've got loads of repetition. You know, like, it's very hard to coach high-end plyometrics sometimes because you're doing such small volumes. By the time you're ready to coach the right thing, they're done. So again, those extensive phases, you've got lots of repetition, you've got relatively high volumes, you've loads of opportunity, for me anyway, or I don't have an amazing coaching eye for this, you've got loads of opportunity to actually watch, see if that's a one-off, or see if it is consistent across multiple reps and sets. You've loads of opportunity to cue, and it's very low risk to change something technically because you're tending to do it at low intensities, or oftentimes we do it on softer surfaces like grass or tumbling mats or whatever. So I think that's a good time to do it quite early in the process.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pacey Performance Bite Size. The full episode where this clip was taken from can be found on sportsmith.co, and it is episode number 484. You can also find it on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Big thanks to Rock Daisy for sponsoring this episode today. And I'll chat to you next time.